Airline and aviation experts tell me that time has run out. American Airlines Flight 3556 from Chicago O'Hare and headed to Columbus, Ohio, when the captain dropped dead in his seat on takeoff. If it wasn't for the fact that his co-pilot was actually a captain trainer and a highly experienced pilot himself, we might be talking about a huge aviation fatality. This is all because pilots and flight attendants were forced, coerced, and highly incentivized to take an experimental poison shot, now known as a bioweapon. Forget the friendly skies. We no longer have safe skies, and the FAA and airline executives created this danger. My guest tonight will lay this all out for you. Time has run out. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Monday night, November 28th, 2022. I'm Dr. Jane Ruby. I've been ringing the bell of warnings for 18 months now that our aviation industry was going to become a disaster, that I couldn't think of much more that could be dangerous than forcing our pilots and ground control crews to take an experimental, toxic, poisonous injection under the disguise of a vaccine for a pandemic that was basically a hoax. I knew that it would make pilots get sick at different intervals over time and then peak out and critically raise the risk level off the charts for aviation fatalities. I've been aware from countless sources for months now that pilots are flying with chest pain, dizziness, hearing problems, and speech deficits, stroke symptoms while in flight, and too frightened to tell anyone about it. On November 19th, just before Thanksgiving, American Airlines Envoy Flight 3556 took off from Chicago O'Hare Airport, bound for Columbus, but within minutes, and they were very lucky passengers on that flight, because within minutes, they were safely turned around from just an elevation of 2,000 feet and headed back to the airport because the captain had dropped dead in his seat on takeoff. In a stark deviation from normal standards, the co-pilot was not the lesser experienced, but rather a captain trainer who recognized the situation right away at just 2,000 feet. He got control of the aircraft, radioed into ground control for an emergency re-vectoring around and back down to the airport. All the while, two doctors were attempting to do CPR in the cockpit. I want you to remember what I just told you while you listen and watch the following audio video, because you're hearing that person in the right pilot seat communicating this disaster. Clearly, Captain Ford was already dead. Please roll the tape.
3556, turn right, heading 040. Runway 28 right, November 5, clear for takeoff.
Right turn 040, clear for takeoff, 28 right, November 5, runway 35. And tower envoy 3556.
Can I help you?
We need to return. Captain is incapacitated.
Right, envoy 3556 as instructed. Go ahead and give me that right turn heading 040.
Right turn 040, envoy 3556.
I maintain 5,000 feet and now I'm going to ship you to Chicago departure on 125.0. We're going to get your resequence right back in.
Right 250, 356. And park runway 3556, 4,000, 5,000.
Envoy 3556, pardon?
Yep, with the 4,500, 5,000.
Envoy 3556, you're returning, is that correct?
Affirmative, as quick as possible. The captain is out.
Envoy 3556, Roger, you should expect runway 28 center. This is flying at 080.
Hey, 080, envoy 356.
Runway 3550, 6 feet is your discretion. You're going to go right in. Just going to maintain 3,000.
Down 3,000, way 3556 vectors would be great.
Runway 3556, connect Chicago, approach on 133.62.
3362, runway 3556. Chicago, runway 3556 is 5,000 to 3,000.
Runway 3556, Chicago approach, rudder. Expect the visual approach, runway 28 center. They give you discretion to 3, is that right?
Yep, and we're out of 4,800 to 3,000.
Okay, and did you have any information I need to pass along to the tower in terms of paramedics, gate number, any of that?
No gate number, and he's knocked out. We're going to need paramedics working on everything right now.
Okay, thank you. Boy 3556, we can turn base just as soon as you'd like for the visual approach. You let me know when.
Let's start in now for 3556.
Okay, Envoy 3556, right turn heading 180 down to 2500. Call the airport when you see it.
All right, 180 down to 2500, Envoy 3556.
Envoy 3556, right turn heading 250. Let me know when you see the airport.
Heading 250, Envoy 3556. Port side for runway 3556.
Runway 3556, roger. Clear visual approach, runway 28 center, speed your discretion.
Clear visual 28 center, runway 3556.
Runway 3556, connect tower now, 120.75, we'll see you.
2075. Tower boy 3556 is visual 28 center.
Runway 3556, O'Hare Tower, wind 290 at 13, gust 20. Runway 28 center, clear to land, and just advise if you need any assistance.
Clear land, 28 center, and we'll exit. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to have to move the captain from the seat, get to the gate.
Roger. Runway 3556, if able, advise if you think you'll be able to clear the runway or not.
I'll be able to clear the runway from runway 3556.
Roger, thank you. Runway 3556, when able, make a right turn to exit the runway, and then whatever is easiest for you, if you want to make a left or a right turn on Papa, whatever works.
I'll try to make a right turn on Papa, then I'm going to stop the aircraft so I can get in the left seat.
And just advise if you want paramedics out there now, or if you want to do what you need to do, just let us know.
Roger that.
Runway 3556, do you think you can continue on Papa and hold short of golf golf? Runway 3556, do you want us to send paramedics out to you?
Negative. We're going to go to the gate, Lima 23. But I don't know how we would get them out of the aircraft.
Okay, sustain tensions.
Yeah, we're going to stop here real quick. I'm going to get in the left seat and then taxi to Lima 23.
Roger.
I get very emotional when I hear that, and I've listened to it many times. Tonight, we're going to talk to three highly experienced aviation industry experts, U.S. Freedom Flyers co-founder Josh Yoder, FAA whistleblower Bruce McGray, and physician and captain Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, to talk about how we must shut this down, rip down the FDA system, and demand these pilots be grounded with pay. Grounded, just like Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long grounded her fighter pilots at Fort Rucker. It's a miracle, and by the grace of God, that we have not yet had a commercial airliner drop out of the sky and take out neighborhoods of people along with its passengers. Take a look at the CNBC reports. In my first picture here, they report that Envoy Air says pilot who was reported incapacitated during flight has died. U.S. News report in the second picture here says pilot dies while plane takes off from Chicago. I wanted you to see these news printings, publications, so you don't think I'm exaggerating. And take a look at this report on CNN Business. Exclusive, American Airlines' largest regional carrier gets FAA warning. Envoy Air commuter jet was seconds away from landing at a regional airport in Illinois last March. Pilots realized they had made a potentially fatal mistake. They were aimed at the wrong runway. Now, I'm not blaming those issues on this near disaster, but it is clear to me, and it should be clear to you, that these airlines are overwhelmed with 300, 400, and 500% disability claims from their pilots, the ones who are stepping down. Because I'm being told that air traffic controllers are literally falling out of their seats while guiding or trying to guide multiple aircraft in the skies. And then take a look at this. In Fortune magazine says, airlines want you to get comfortable with flying without a co-pilot, like AI, like replacing one of the pilots. Pilots and flyers are not convinced. Are you really going to tolerate this? Is it really going to take a mid-air collision or a fatality down to the ground out of the skies before something is done? Wake up! Before we catch up with our three incredible guests tonight, I want to warn you quickly about our economic status and the steps you can take to protect your retirement savings with physical gold and silver. If you've got $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, you could be at risk, serious risk. But right now, thousands of Americans are hedging off that potential loss using an IRS loophole to add physical gold and silver to their plans. I want you to call my friends at GoldCo. Call 855-791-2619 to get your free IRA kit and learn how you can protect your nest egg. You could also get $10,000 in free silver to do it. Call 855-791-2619. That's 855-791-2619. When I return, we're going to talk to these industry giants who are screaming and yelling with me that time has run out. Well, the show is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health, LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo food line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then they blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you have ever felt. Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing inflammation with one simple drink. It's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. They're offering up to 15% off when you use the promo code RUBY. Go to earthechofoods.com and use the discount code RUBY for your 15% off. On November 19th, a few days before Thanksgiving, Captain in Training Patrick Ford, sitting in the captain's seat, became incapacitated. His co-pilot had to radio for an emergency return to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. American Airlines Envoy Flight 3556, bound for Columbus, Ohio, now looks like Captain Ford appears to have died on or shortly after takeoff, and somewhere between just 2,000 to 3,000 feet, one of the most critical points in flying. Luckily for the people sitting in the back of this Embraer 175 jet, their first officer in the right side seat was also a highly trained captain, and in fact, a trainer of captains, and he was able to immediately take over the situation and safely return the aircraft back to O'Hare. Many of you, unfortunately, are so numb now to the fact that pilots can get sick or pass out with heart attacks or strokes because you have another pilot in the cockpit. I once asked a 30-year experienced captain in the commercial aviation industry if he had any concerns about flying. And his response to me was just the first 180 seconds. Because, he said, when I'm under 10,000 feet, I don't have a lot of time or room to make decisions. Well, thanks to the advanced training and quick observations of trainer Captain Brandon Hendrickson, Envoy Air Flight 3556 was safely returned to the airport, and our condolences go to the family of the deceased pilot. But time is running out. The odds are against us and our complacency. And that's what the show is about. Tonight, we're going to speak with two incredibly accomplished pilots who've been warning the American public for many months now that a disaster is coming, based on the bioweapon shots forced upon our nation's aviation industry. Josh Yoder is the co-founder and leader of U.S. Freedom Flyers. Dr. Kevin Stillwagon is a distinguished chiropractor and, until recently, a captain for Delta Airlines. Gentlemen, welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. It's so good to have both of you here.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's my honor. You two are at the forefront of this whole issue. In my introduction, I did lay it out for the public. Can we start with you, Josh? Give us a little bit of a background. You both have great connections in the industry. You have a lot of friends who are still commercial pilots. Tell us a little bit, Josh, about how you came to know about this event just several days ago and what more maybe has happened since the story broke.
Sure. Yeah, I actually was initially made aware of it. I received a call from one of Patrick Ford's friends, actually, who told me about the incident, told me what happened, and also sent me the air traffic control tapes that I went and reviewed. And it's very concerning. You can hear the aircraft. It's an American Eagle flight 3556. They were cleared for takeoff, and approximately 90 seconds after they were cleared for takeoff, the first call came in, essentially notifying air traffic control that there was a problem. And at that time, I continued to listen to the tapes, and the tower cleared them up to 5,000, asked them to climb and maintain 5,000 feet. So we know for sure the aircraft was below 5,000 feet. And what I've heard from a firsthand account from someone that was on that aircraft, they said they were in a turn. The aircraft went into a steep bank, according to someone that was on the aircraft, which was then recovered. And, they were back on the ground within a few minutes. But what I'm told is there were actually two doctors on board and apparently another pilot as well who came up to the flight deck and assisted the crew in removing the pilot from the captain's seat, moving to the back of the aircraft where there were apparently two doctors who attempted to resuscitate him unsuccessfully. And then they came back and they landed it at Chicago O'Hare. Unfortunately, I wish this was an isolated incident. But over the course of the past year and a half, I hear about stories like this frequently. There's been a few of them in the news, but many of these stories don't actually make the media.
Josh, I think everyone thinks that, look, you've got another pilot. You probably have deadheading pilots traveling to and fro in the back. So people kind of use that in denial to reassure themselves. But this was very, very different situation. And you probably heard the entire tape. I think what was released to the public, there are pieces missing. And Captain Hendrickson does say, we're working on that, when they keep asking him if he wants, once he got the plane down or when he got close, if he wanted paramedics to meet them, maybe out on the tarmac or something. Eventually he says no, but I did hear him say they're working on that now. So we kind of knew that something was going on, but it appears, do you know if Captain Ford was, or Captain in Training Ford was dead at the time they were working on him? Is there no way to know that? I mean, the two doctors should have been able to tell Captain Hendrickson.
I'm sure the two doctors know. No, I'm not aware. I don't have that information. But as we're seeing with vaccine injuries, and we don't even know for sure that he was vaccinated, it's an assumption that we're making because about 80 to 85% of pilots are vaccinated. And, just from the other cases that we're seeing, sudden cardiac death, this is something that's not happening just among pilots. It's happening among the general populace as well. It just seems very suspicious that a young man, I believe he was in his 30s, and I'm told he was in great shape, a distance runner, would just drop dead like that. That's not normal. This isn't something that was happening prior to 2 years ago.
Right.
At least not on a frequent basis. It has happened, but not on a frequent basis.
Right. And Dr. Stillwagon, you're a doctor, in addition to being a captain, a pilot, right, with all that experience. Tell me a little bit about, and we're going to get to maybe some of the cardiac related issues to these shots later. But right now we don't know, is this true from both of you? We don't know if he was injected yet. But let's get to, I want to tap into your expertise as a pilot, Dr. Stillwagon, before we get to that.
Right.
Your thoughts on something like this happening at 2,000 or 3,000 feet, and from what you know about this situation?
Yeah. So pilot incapacitation is a big deal, and we're actually trained for that. And it's been an emphasis item the past year for most airlines because they know that this is going to happen. And so if it happens close to the ground, you've got a couple of complicating factors. Number one, if the aircraft was like this Embraer 175, it has conventional flight controls. In other words, both pilots have complete access to the control yoke, which is sitting right in front of them. The problem is, if you have the pilot, like the captain in this instance, that completely passes out and slumps forward on those controls or leans on one side of the controls, that could put the aircraft into a turn or a dive, something that you don't want to happen. And so if the other pilot doesn't have the strength to overcome that or to move the pilot out of the way, this could be a very serious problem. And the closer to the ground you are, the more chances are that something disastrous could happen. And Josh and I have been warning about this for a very long time now, saying that we're setting ourselves up for a disaster here. And the reason I say that is because they know that myocarditis is an issue with this shop. It is well known. It is in the literature, and in fact, it is in the vaccine package inserts now that are required to be with these shots. In fact, both Pfizer and Moderna have biological licensing applications to bring this product to the market. And that application requires them, Dr. Ruby, to track out myocarditis until the year 2027. So this is still experimental. And so what we're saying is, this is experimental. Stop putting this stuff into pilots. It's a known issue with myocarditis. And what's dangerous about it is, and we can get into the physiology on this, the danger of it is, Dr. Ruby, many of these cases are completely subclinical, totally asymptomatic. The pilot doesn't know that they're experiencing this. And so what I'm saying is, we're headed for a storm. There is a storm ahead. And we need to turn the aircraft now. We need to do something to avert this potential disaster from happening. Yeah. I believe we have the capability of doing that.
Absolutely. And I want to just jump to Josh for a moment. And Dr. Slowagen, I'm not sure if it's an issue or not, but your volume is going a little bit in and out. So maybe while we're talking to Josh, just check your connection. So may not be an issue, but it kind of came in and out a little bit. That sounds good. Josh, what I wanted to go back to you on was, you know for a fact that this happens much more frequently than the public is aware and that is made aware in these kinds of, you know, reports and things like that. Do these companies know what they did? Do they know the situation they're in?
If they don't know what they've done and they don't know the situation, it's their own fault. Because we warned them last year on December 15th, there was a 10-page letter that was sent to the Federal Aviation Administration and also to the major airlines. And we know that they received it because we sent it via courier, you know, and via, you know, with tracking. We know they received the information, and it warned about these very types of things, the pilots dropping dead. You know, the stories that were put in there were brought from the VAERS system. Also, pilot Cody Flint's story was in there, among others. Captain Greg Pearson was another one. And so they knew what was, you know, we were warning them. We were saying, look, this is going to happen. As Dr. Stillwagen said, we've been very vocal about this for a long time now. And now we're starting to see the results of a very poor decision on behalf of the airlines and the FAA. The FAA should have never even allowed the shot to be given to pilots. And the airlines, by mandating it, they actually broke U.S. law when they did that.
Let me ask either of you this question. Are they still mandating it for those who have not taken it? Or are they mandating any booster or repeat?
Mandates remain in place at a lot of airlines, but they have started accepting religious and medical exemptions. That was after the tremendous amount of pushback that we gave them last fall. Initially, our cutoff date was actually November 24th. So we're almost at the 1-year anniversary of that mandate. And we were told at that time there would be no acceptance of religious and medical exemptions. Due to a tremendous amount of pushback by airline employees, they realized that they had to give us a process by which to avoid getting the shots, and that, you know, that moved the date back to January 4th. And most airlines ultimately did accept those exemptions, but not before they did a tremendous amount of harm. The threats and coercion of what would happen if we didn't get the shot prompted most pilots to go out and get it, you know, somewhere in probably the 80 to 85% range. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, what we're seeing now is that there's a tremendous number of health issues. I know for sure at American Airlines, between January and July of 2022, there was a 300% increase in long-term disability claims at American Airlines among pilots. So you have to ask yourself what changed. You know, I mean, that's not normal. And it's certainly, I think it's going to have a devastating effect on air travel going forward.
Yeah, Dr. Stillwagon, are you getting the word that, you know, the flu shot, for example, the seasonal flu shot is right now, they're boasting about the fact that they're putting it in with the COVID shot. So we don't know what's in these things. And I know people are starting to report to me that they're getting sick and they're having similar symptoms and a couple right dropping dead. What are your thoughts on, are they going to force flight attendants and pilots to now take the seasonal flu shot because it's so dangerous, so to speak?
I'm afraid they might do that. And what makes me say that is there was just a global summit meeting, G20, that 19 major countries around the world, the United States is included on that, and the European Union. And they have decided that they want to move forward with a vaccine passport, a digital vaccine passport for proof that everyone has had the vaccine, any vaccine. And this is absolutely not necessary because we now know, and they've admitted it, that these shots called vaccines do not prevent infection. They do not prevent the spread of the infection or the transmission of the infection. They admit that now.
Right.
And they were never designed to do that because of the way the antibodies work. The antibodies are always inside of your body, in your blood and lymph. They can't stop a virus from getting in you. They cannot stop the infection from happening. They can only react to the infection itself. And so by showing proof that you got the jab, the only proof that you're showing them is that you are setting yourself up for a myocarditis event. You are not protecting yourself from infection, and you're not protecting anyone else from infection either. So this whole idea is ridiculous and it has to stop.
Josh, I want to go back to you for a minute because we've talked about this before and it's a little tricky. We want pilots to be able to fly safely. We want them to feel safe in terms of asking for help. We're not going after people or names or anything like that, but what is the reality on the ground? Are some pilots, I mean, I just want the public to understand there are dangers and it's not in their control. And these pilots are trying to do the best thing they can, but they maybe don't even realize it. And maybe their symptoms are intermittent, so they could maybe relate it to something else. What is your understanding about, are there large numbers of pilots flying with symptoms?
There are, unfortunately, I've heard of many cases, you know, where pilots are experiencing symptoms and they're afraid to come forward and seek medical care. And what's important to understand is that, you know, for a pilot, like you have to have a flight medical that happens, you know, annually for most of us. So if you go in there and you have a problem, you can lose your, if you lose your flight medical over a cardiac issue or something like that, you lose your career, right? And so that's why a lot of these pilots aren't coming forward. What's so devastating about this is the fact that the airlines mandated that they created this problem. And now they're looking at the pilot trying to place the blame on the pilot. And it's ultimately the pilot and his family. They're the ones who suffer the consequences of a terrible decision, not only by the airlines and the unions, but also, you know, the choice of taking the shot. So it puts people in a very difficult position and it makes them unwilling to come forward. Unfortunately, you know, like Dr. Kevin Stillwagon said, in cases of myocarditis, you know, more than 50% of people with myocarditis have zero symptoms up until the day they die. I mean, and this is something that we're seeing over and over again with the athletes and, you know, pilots that I deal with, that this is happening. And I don't know what the answer is, but there needs to be a proactive approach that's taken by the FAA and the airlines. And I don't see that proactive approach happening, because if they do, they're admitting that they have liability for one, and you know, the ones that are responsible for pushing this out.
Of course they are. I totally blame them and the FAA. Dr. Stillwagon, let's get into the myocarditis a little bit, because a lot of aviation industry people, maybe other industries that were forced, coerced, pressured to take this, they are walking around with a lot of them with silent damage to their hearts. Because people have been led to believe erroneously that, oh, you get myocarditis, a little inflammation in the heart, and you recover from it, that it's self-limiting, it's mild. Let's talk about it, the realities around myocarditis for these pilots.
Yeah, actually there was a study done in 2021, December of 2021, where they went to 13 college universities and they tested over 1,500 young, healthy athletes to see if there was any evidence of myocarditis. And they did find evidence of myocarditis, and they found it by using a very specified test called a cardiac MRI. And they found that they were only able to detect these cases of myocarditis by using that particular test. In other words, there were no symptoms. These were entirely subclinical. And traditional tests that are used, like an EKG, totally flew right by. The only way to detect it was with a cardiac MRI. So what we're saying is, if we don't look for this problem in pilots and air traffic controllers and flight attendants and everyone who's involved in flight safety, if we don't look for it, we're not going to find it until it's too late. So Steve Kirsch, as you know, has come forward and offered any major airline that he would pay for all of their employees to be screened for myocarditis, and not a single airline has taken him up on that. It's time for at least one airline to step forward and say, yeah, we're willing to do this, because the evidence now is that we could be setting ourselves up for an impending disaster, and we need to try to avoid that at all costs.
Well, one of the focal points, you know, that I took last year was to hit these CEOs of these companies and the people that were in the leadership of ALPA and the management, you know, between airlines and these unions, because they were just hell-bent on forcing this. And so we sort of believe that they've been financially incentivized, you know, by this whole, what we think is a DOD operation, and the government's in on it. You know, we're in a very, very difficult place. So one of these airlines to step forward and say, sure, you can screen our people, would almost be interfering with what we believe is a sort of a mass damage, if you will,
right,
or mass genocide operation. And that could be part of the problem.
Yeah. So the FAA needs to step in and do something. And they have said that they're going to launch a full investigation into what happened to this pilot, this Envoy pilot, Patrick Ford. If they do not do and call for a full autopsy on this man, they are totally dropping the ball. That's malfeasance. They need to look at this person and find out exactly what happened. Was there myocarditis in that heart? We need to see that. We need to know that.
Well, somebody's going to swoop down on that family, and I'm going to accuse this and incentivize that family to bypass an autopsy. How can we find out if Captain Ford is autopsied? Can we?
I have no idea. Unless we have serious investigational reporting done on this, there's really no way.
Yeah, there's no transparency.
Right.
Josh, are you able to, you know, through your connections, you know, communicate sometimes with families after, you know, their loved one pilot has died in flight?
I have in the past, but only when they reach out to me. I try not to intrude on the family. You know, I mean, this is something that needs to be handled. You know, I think, you know, they need to be treated with respect, and I don't want to go pry into their business, but it would be very helpful. You know, if they would reach out, if they see this show, and, you know, we could discuss, you know, what happened, and hopefully, you know, find them help and find real solutions.
Well, let's go there, because we're down to the last, 3 minutes or so. If you could talk to families right now, or even Captain Ford's family, where can they reach out to you? How do they find you? I'm assuming it's through U.S. Freedom Flyers, but give them the specific information, and we'll put the website on the screen as well.
Yeah, people can reach us at info@usfreedomflyers.org. And if anyone is experiencing medical issues, please contact us either at info or medical@usfreedomflyers.org. What we have is a large medical team that actually works with us. We can't give medical advice, but what we can do is we can help you find solutions. If your doctor isn't willing to admit what's happening with you, that it's a vaccine injury, we have a large team of people that we can refer you to that can provide assistance. And just as a matter of prevention and precaution, Cardio Miracle is another really great product that a lot of our pilots are taking, that are having cardiac issues, and we're seeing amazing improvements. Actually, it's something I've been taking for months. Helps to protect against, you know, COVID infection and shedding and that type of thing per peer reviewed medical research. Yeah. And so I think that's a really interesting thing that we're trying to get out to everyone. And it seems to be helping on our end. And I think that, you know, I think it's imperative that we all take a really proactive approach. and solving this issue. Because if we don't, you're going to see many more cases just like we're having.
Yeah, I appreciate that tip. I actually work with Cardio Miracle, and I have a link to it on underneath our show every night. So thank you for that tip. And you can find the link below to Cardio Miracle to look into the product. It's nitrous oxide. It's very protective to the heart. I don't know if Dr. Stillwagon, you have a word or two about that.
Yeah,
but as long as you brought it up, Josh, don't forget to use the promo code Ruby for Cardio Miracle, because it helps to keep the show going so we can tell you about these things. Dr. Stillwagon, what are your thoughts on nitric oxide and any other treatments or approaches, and how can people get to you? You're not treating people through emails, but
right.
Like I'm not, but
I don't treat anybody anymore, but Josh is right. There is help available.
Cardio Miracle is a great product. It stimulates the production of nitric oxide in your blood. And we know that nitric oxide will prevent things from sticking to the walls of your blood vessels. And it can also actually help dissolve atherosclerosis if it's already there. Now, we are seeing these abnormal clots. You've had them on your show before, Dr. Ruby. I don't think the Cardio Miracle can particularly help that, because that's right. A breakdown of the spike protein, which is a man-made thing. And these things are turning into fibrils that are amyloid-like, and the body just cannot dissolve those things. Right. But another thing.
I agree with you. Yeah. And then there's the downstream effect of the profound inflammation that comes with myocarditis that, right. You know, that's like permanent damage. So thank you.
It is permanent damage, that's right. But there's microclotting that's going on with this shot. We know that the spike protein will adhere to HD receptors along your blood vessel walls. And when it does, it causes the red blood cells that are flying by to start to back up. This causes the microclotting issue. Over time, it develops into what's called ischemia, which is the first breakdown of any chronic pathological disease, because the organ is not able to get the proper amount of blood supply and nutrients, nor is it allowed or given the proper way to eliminate the toxins. So this is a serious problem.
What we're also seeing is
something called transient ischemic attacks that some pilots have reported. And this is a very dangerous thing. It's like a mini stroke. It's a temporary thing.
I was going to say really quick, because we're out of time, but what are the quick symptoms to look for TIAs?
Yeah, inability to think properly, brain fog, disruption of vision, losing your peripheral vision, losing your forward vision, changes in the ability to hear things. And so this is all a result of the microclotting, which can be helped by increasing your nitric oxide level by using a product like Cardium.
It's important, because pilots need to hear and communicate with the tower, so you can
right.
You can anticipate all kinds of issues. Josh Yoder, Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, thank you so much for being here. We'll definitely have you back. It's great to have you both together. So thank you so much for everything you're doing to save humanity. It's not just the aviation industry. I really appreciate everything you've done.
And thank you for
Dr. Ruby.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but you won't want to miss the next segment. We'll continue the discussion we've had with Josh and Kevin's colleague, FAA whistleblower Bruce McGray, who will give us his thoughts in summary on this discussion and where we go from here. But first, these important messages. I'll be right back. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses. And you might not know that there are 7 different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code Ruby for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code Ruby. Welcome back. Before we get to my next guest, I want to thank my sponsor for this segment, Triad Air. For all of your shedding and air purification needs, please go to filterssuck.com. That's filters with an S, filterssuck.com, and use the promo code Ruby for 10% off and free shipping. Well, Bruce McGray is a senior Federal Aviation Administration official, now turned whistleblower, who has worked diligently to expose the agenda behind the FAA mandates for pilots. Bruce has been in the studio tonight with Josh Yoder and Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, and I'm looking forward to his thoughts on American Airlines Envoy Flight 3556 And where we go now, where we go from here, rather. And Bruce joins me now. Bruce, welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. It's really good to have you.
Thank you, Jane. I, on one level, am not happy about being here. This is not my normal duties. We should be handling this within the federal government, and we are not. And unfortunately, that's part of what's compelled me to where I am today with this.
Sure. We're so very grateful for people like you who are God-fearing and who have a conscience to come forward. I know you have a statement that you're going to read. It's going to be very informative for my audience. But first, Bruce, you know, you did hear the interview with Josh and Kevin Stillwagon. You speak with them all the time. You guys are all working together. Let's talk about this flight and your take on it, because I feel it was an act of God, that it wasn't a disaster. But tell me from your experience, you are were you a head of the control tower system or program? What's your perspective?
This flight was in one of the two most critical phases of flight. It was during takeoff. And landing, of course, is the other critical phase. Then there's a 5-minute window underneath 10,000 feet that is considered critical to flight. Some airlines have a completely sterile cockpit below 10. Some have it below 18,000 feet. But the point being is, everything at this moment of flight is all business. There are a couple unique factors involved in the Envoy flight. One, this captain, and through my online sources, I've gotten the information that he was a direct hire from his previous company. So he already was a captain, and he had would have had to have several thousand hours. He is in his second regulatory flight, called Initial Operating Experience, IOE is how it's referred to in industry. So in his second flight of IOE, he had a highly experienced check airman in the right seat. In my 50 years of aviation, that is my opinion is that's the reason why this flight was recovered and able to be landed safely.
Right. You're saying without that expertise, this would have been a fatal flight at 2,000 feet.
With a normal inexperienced first officer, which is usually the case these days in the regionals, it is most likely the FO would not have been able to react in a timely enough fashion just because of experience level to be able to recover this flight. Not to mention the fact they're out of Chicago O'Hara, one of the most congested, one of the busiest, one of the most complicated airspace areas to operate in. So you have to be complete master of your game here.
It's unbelievable. Bruce, in the first segment, before we spoke with Josh, who of course, is everybody knows, is one of the co-founders of US Freedom Flyers and an experienced pilot for American Airlines, and Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, who's a doctor and an experienced captain who just left Delta last year to avoid the mandates. You know, they also understand how dangerous this was, and what a sort of an act of God, or, you know, it's like a Captain Sully moment where the right parts were in place. And there's in the very first segment, though, before we got to them, I played a 5-minute audio and video of what was, it's mostly the audio, between the recovery captain who was in the right-hand seat, and who was the trainer of a captain who must have realized right away. My understanding is there was a severe banking at 2,000 feet just after the takeoff, and that experienced pilot in the right seat, who happened to be there by the grace of God that day for this event, recognized it right away, was able to recover it back, and then, of course, work with the tower to get it re-vectored in.
Yes, and just commenting on that sudden uncontrolled movement of the airplane, these neurological events, these cardiac events, these sudden deaths as a result of, you're at a very high tension time. This guy is under extreme scrutiny as a new captain of this company. Right. And that would be enough in and of itself to trigger the adrenaline that would cause the heart shutdown. That's That's the problem with this whole mess with myocarditis.
But that's not normally a problem in an unjabbed and relatively, I mean, a healthy, you know, pilot who's been medically checked at the regular required intervals, yeah. Right? Okay, so you're saying that
there is the whole issue. You just hit the heart of the whole issue.
Yeah, we don't have 100% confirmation yet, unless you do and you want to break it here, that Captain Ford, who died on that flight, was jabbed, but it's highly suspicious. Do you have any information on his jab status?
No, I only have the online source information right now, but it is most likely that that's what's involved.
Okay, so Bruce, you have tremendous connections in this industry. You're a very high-ranking official. What is the state of our aviation industry in the United States right now in terms of safety? Where are we?
I want to preface this with a couple of things, Jane, just for the legal issues that are involved.
Sure,
today.
You have to follow your counsel, of course.
Yeah, I am speaking strictly as a private citizen right now, not on behalf of the FAA. I am off duty at the moment. I have complied with both the 1989 and 2012 Whistleblower Acts. I'm also under legal advisement, and I have whistleblower protection in the Senate as well. I've properly filed a sworn declaration to senior officials of the FAA and then with the Office of Inspector General of DOT. My two major points related to what you've asked are just validating the danger of these shots. My filing, which is available online, cites 185 or so pages of evidence of the dangers of the shots. But now recent information, okay? Southwest Airlines, who was averaging about 180 sick pilots out per month up to the start of the shots, that's 180, now is seeing close to 470 per month. That's a 260% increase.
Increase in what, Bruce? I'm sorry.
In pilots actually medically not able to fly.
Wow.
Per month.
And you said, before you go any further, you did say that people could read this online. Can you just give me the location of that?
No, not this particular. This is recent information.
Okay. Jane. Okay.
My information is as of July, and actually most of it was prior to March of 2022. I'm giving you more updates now because the amount of incidents are exploding.
Oh my God.
We're in the death explosion phase of the detriments of the shots and how they eventually ruin your health. That's where we are right now. So Southwest has seen this 260% increase in medically sick pilots trying to manage their situation, knowing they're in trouble, out for work, in my opinion, than at Delta Airlines. Delta has had a voluntary disability fund that the pilots have maintained for many, many years. Never had a financial problem until 2021 and 2022. It's in arrears. They don't have the money to pay out the extent of the disabilities that are occurring now.
Let me ask you this. Do the airlines know that they're in, they have to see the numbers. Do they know that they're in this peak death potential and disaster potential period?
It would seem that nobody at executive decision-making levels in the airlines, nobody at executive decision-making levels anywhere in the federal government involved with any of this, nor at DOD, are exhibiting any awareness of what you just said. We are in a very difficult place right now of having to wake these people up.
Because I'm going to tell you, Bruce, a lot of people write to me every day and say, you know, when I try to bring this information about the airline industry forward with you guys, they'll say, well, Dr. Jane, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 takeoffs every day, nothing's happening. What do I say to them?
Things are happening. We just haven't had the fatal crash yet. Mm-hmm. And we've probably had a number of accidents. Mm-hmm. But it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years to fully investigate accidents. And it's very likely in this case, they're not interested in the autopsies of the bodies.
Of course.
It's the autopsy that'll show the damages. The third one I want to mention is American Airlines. And recently, American Airlines, the pilot union, announced that as of January to October of this year, their disability filings are up 300%. Now, this comports with the original DMED data, the defense medical data that was taken out of the most secure medical database in the world that showed an 1,100% of increase in medical cases in a static population that had the same number of medical cases per year, 2016 to 2020, and then an 1,100% increase as the shots were being implemented.
Yeah.
We are medically in a crisis here, major crisis.
Look, Bruce, I know that pilots, I've talked to enough of them. If I come forward, I'm having a little chest pain here and there. I got another pilot with me. If I come forward, I'm out of everything. They're not thinking, or maybe they are. You tell me. I've got 200 people in the back to think about. Maybe I'm out of a career, but if I go out, they go down. They could go down.
I've maintained a medical for 41, 42 years total as a flying pilot. I think it's probably part of the whole difficulty with what we're dealing with right now. They're worried about losing their jobs. And they got forced on one level to do this. I happen to have information that made me know right from the start, you had to avoid this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was the information on when Wuhan flights to domestic China were completely shut down. The city was locked down, but they kept sending international flights out of Wuhan all around the world. And that was back in October, November of 19.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't heed it.
Maybe December.
Yeah. Bruce, I want to break in a little bit. My apologies, but I know that you want to get this statement in. And so we unfortunately always have limited time. We're not.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and I want
I've
you
got,
to have
I just got the
to read it.
I just got a bit more of this ago. I've actually been addressing the first part.
Okay.
And the first part was the danger of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
There is no arguing the danger of the shots. The problem, and one of the classic examples, was Senator Ron Johnson. When he sent his letter to the Secretary of the Defense asking for information on a number of explosive data points in the DMED database, the Defense Department answer was to immediately corrupt the database.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
We and Senator Johnson has never been answered. He's never been responded to.
But he's never pursued it further. I mean...
behind the scenes, Jane, you just haven't been seeing publicly what's going on.
I hope so.
Both the FAA and Department of Transportation have and are violating the federal laws requiring informed consent. This is a major, major point here. These shots never have been properly approved.
Of course. And people need to understand that the FAA violated our federal laws by being part of this coercion to get pilots to take something that was experimental and not approved by the FDA and not out for a certain amount of time, correct?
Well, in the certain amount of time, that's the laws of FAA medical certification.
Okay.
Of any people who have to have an FAA medical certificate. Air traffic controllers have to have one. Pilots have to have one. In that case, they violated all the testing requirements that we have to do of any new medications or injections of vaccines that are going to be at altitude in airplanes under heavy G loading, under stress to the pilot individual. This myocarditis mess in single pilot fighters under combat stress with males aged, of course, they're not in those airplanes till about age 23 to 24. But they're in that 18 to 49 age range where as soon as the adrenaline starts pumping, the myocarditis shuts your heart down.
Okay.
That's the implications of how bad it is.
Okay.
So we have two parts there. One is the informed consent laws developed as a result of the whole Nuremberg mess in World War II. And the other laws are the medical certification laws that the FAA's complied with all of my lifetime. Until these shots.
Right.
And now they just say, hey, they're fine. They're good to go.
the most bizarre thing, Bruce, because why is everybody ignoring the laws in favor of something that is causing so much havoc? There is something larger happening. Bruce, we're down to literally down to about a minute. You've pretty much given us the gist of what's in this.
Yes.
We don't have time to read the statement, but can people find that statement on like US Freedom Flyers or somewhere?
I will send this to you.
Okay.
And it'll be available through you.
We'll put it on the notes line of the show.
Bottom line is this. Immediate steps need to be taken to determine the extent of injuries to pilots. They need to be, the injected pilots need to be tested for myocarditis. If possible, there always needs to be an uninjected pilot in the cockpit. If not, then of the pilots injected and tested, they need to make sure that they at least one of them does not have myocarditis.
Yeah.
I think the government has failed in this, Jane. And so what I'm suggesting here is companies stand up on their own to protect their people and to get them to health, but to manage this situation so that we don't have
a
loss of a couple hundred air.
And hopefully public. Yes, hopefully public. I'm sorry, I'm really out of time. Public pressure will get that to help you get that moving.
That's key.
Bruce, really quickly, what do they do? Call the FAA? What are your recommendations? I really literally
you
got
can
30
call
seconds.
The FAA, yeah, you can call the FAA hotline. You can Google online flight service, flight standards district office or certificate management office. You can call local offices in your area and leave messages. People need to en masse start calling.
Okay, that's great advice.
And expressing their concern.
We will put that information on the show notes below for the show tonight. So, Bruce, thank you so much. Bruce McGray, you're an American hero. Really grateful that you're doing what you're doing. Thank you so much. And hope we see, we'll have you back soon, I hope, if you'll come back. That'd be great.
Thank you, Jane.
You bet. So that's it for this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. It's not too late, as you heard from Bruce McGray, to make your voice heard to the airline industry, to the FAA. If everyone actually stopped flying for 30 days, you might get this thing under control because you'd get their attention and bring them to their knees and avoid what a fatal aviation disaster, what my three guests tonight are predicting is imminent. Thanks for being with me tonight. See you on Wednesday.